soul that is hungry, reach out and touch a spirit in despair. Reach out and touch a life torn and dirty, a man who is lonely.
Most of us carry heavy burdens. Sometimes those burdens can be things like our health, maybe our finances, could be things that we deal with in our own personal heart. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it could be family, a wayward child. It could be a whole host of things that we deal with. And where is those in our world that show any concern or compassion? And here we find that the Lord Jesus is dealing with a lawyer. And lawyers, even in the first century, didn't always have the best of reputation. But here's a lawyer that is now confronting Jesus. And he's asking him a question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" See, the problem with a lot of people today is that very question that man said reveals a lot about human nature. Because mankind confuses what it means about going to heaven. Some think that in order for you to go to heaven, you have to do something. And Jesus was telling him, well, here's what you do. You obey the law, but quite frankly, the law you can't obey because we're still sinners. And so the fact is that's not what we do, but when we try to do it, we realize our inability to do anything. Now, stay with me, because all this is going to make sense in a minute. And so what he says is, you do these things, and he says, what it will do is it will show you what you really need, and you need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. But the question is, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? And then he says, go do thou likewise. We're to love God and love others. Certainly, if you want to know the relationship that you have between you and God, just test out and look at your relationship that you have with others. That's the principle. The truth is that if you want to see how much you really love God, it's going to be wrapped around how much you really love others. I mean, if a person has no love for others, then certainly they have no love for God. The Bible says we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. And so this point of the matter is, if we're going to love God, it starts the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9, and verse number 10, it's about the heart. Jesus says, the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But we come to a most interesting passage. Passage of compassion. A passage of care. A passage of great concern. And what Jesus teaches us is absolutely amazing here. We're going to look at this passage, but I think we're going to probably look at it from a little different viewpoint than what you've ever seen it before. Here we have the story that Jesus tells us, and that story begins in verse number 30, goes down through verse 37. He tells us a story about a man who leaves Jerusalem and takes a 17-mile journey down to a cursed city called Jericho. The man on his way, as he makes that 17-mile trip, that 17 miles downward, Jerusalem is elevated rather high, Jericho is low. As he makes his way, it's a winding road, a dangerous road, a road filled with bandits and robbers and thieves. So the man's traveling all by himself from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he is now robbed and beaten and left half dead. The man, of no fault of his own, simply on a trip, going where he needs to go, and he's beaten and stripped and left half naked and half dead on a road. And so what we have is we have two religious people that come by that happen to see the man, but are they going to stop? No, they're not going to stop. They walk around. But there's a Samaritan. I have to keep in mind that in the first century, a Samaritan was a man that no one wanted to have anything to do with because he was part Jew and part Gentile, and there's sort of a history that goes back, and so people didn't want to have anything to do with him. And here's a Samaritan who had been rejected and hated by others. Here's the man that comes and stops to help the victim. Now here's how I want you to see the story. We don't want to press it too much, but here's the story. Guess who the victim is? It's you and me. We're the victim. We come here to this world without any choice, and with no fault of our own, we come as sinners. We're sinners. And we're in a cursed world. And as we live in this cursed world, we know that as we go from one place to another, what is most interesting is how that we're beaten by the world. We're beaten down. We're bruised, and we're attacked, and we're hated. The world is not our friend. And we find that as we make our way down, that there is religion out there that tries to do something for us, and religion can't do anything, but there's the Samaritan that comes along, and guess who that Samaritan is? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Just as he was God and man, just as a Samaritan was Gentile and Jew, it's a picture of God and man who's wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to realize today, that for you and I, the burdens that we bear and our financial burdens and our children's burdens and perhaps maybe your work burdens and all the other burdens, I just want you to know that there is a God that really genuinely cares for every one of those burdens. That Jesus Christ is not someone for you to run away from and believe he's like your enemy and that he hates you and that he's just out to get you and that all he wants to do is ruin your life, because nothing can be further from the truth. God loves you. And we're going to look here in this passage and see that God not only loves you, but Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, tells us about and shows to us and displays to us his compassion. I want you to notice the three compassions I find here. Number one, he displays a compassion of grace to the needy. And I find it that what happens is, we're introduced to the fact that there is no compassion in the law. Some people like to live by the law. This was basically a focus on those who wanted to live by the law. You had the priest who made his way down, who should have shown some compassion and concern, but no, he didn't show any compassion. He represents the law. He represents that ability of man who somehow thinks that, you know, he lives a good life, he can do all the right things, he can get baptized, or he can do this, or he can do that, and that's going to take care of it, only to find there's no compassion in the law. You can't have forgiveness in the law, because when you violate the law, you're guilty. And when you're guilty, you have to pay. There's no compassion. And the law shows us that we're all guilty before God. The Bible said that we're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But then you have the Levite that comes along, and that Levite, he comes down, and somehow or another he's a little lesser position than the priest, and he does the same thing, because it goes to show you that morality and all of these things show no compassion. And so for those who have a tendency to lean to the law and to say, you know what, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been religious, or because I've joined this church, or because I've been baptized, or because I've taken First Communion, or because, you know, I'm a great person and there's a lot of good things in my life, and yeah, I've had a few boo-boos, they need to realize that's not good enough. That's not compassionate enough. In fact, in Paul writes in Galatians, when he says these words, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I can't be justified by the works of the law. I can't do enough good things. There's no mercy with the law. But thank God, there's grace with Jesus Christ. Jesus operates in grace. Here we find that this man, this victim, who is us, he's lying there in desperation. He needs somebody to show compassion. He needs somebody that shows concern. And we already see the law can't help us in any way. And Jesus Christ can help us. When a man comes, he doesn't walk up and say, can I look at your birth certificate? I want to know if you're a Gentile. I want to know if you're a Jew. I want to know if you're a Samaritan. He didn't pay any attention to his nationality. He didn't pay attention to what clothes he had or how his hair was. He didn't look to that way. He wasn't concerned about all of the kinds of things that mankind has become accustomed to, you know, being more concerned about. He was just concerned about the fact that the man was in need. And by the way, I'm so glad today that God sees us in our needs. And if you're needy today, I want you to know that he sees you and he knows right where you are. Yes, we're the man. Yes, we're that victim. We're the person that's been beaten by the world and pressed down by the world and going through difficulties and trials and heartaches. In fact, the Bible said that Jesus comes right where we are and he shows great compassion. If Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. And by the way, let me tell you this. Get this. This is really important. Just as Jesus found you where you are, and just as Jesus extended his compassion to you, and just as he forgave you of your sins, that should impact your life, that you want to do that to help others in their need. And it's so sad how that somewhere along the way that we miss this. You know, we love to have mercy and compassion, but so few of us like to give it back. So few of us like to be compassionate to others. You know, we want all the compassion we can get. We want all the love we can get. We want all of the mercy that we can get from God. But when it comes to somebody else, we know nothing of that kind of compassion. And here the Bible said that Jesus Christ came when the man couldn't get up. He couldn't help himself. He met him where he was. And that's exactly where you and I are in our sin. We need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, we can't help ourselves up. We can't get ourselves out of the pit. We can't get out of that. We're sinking in quicksand of sin. We're going down and down and down and down. And we can't crawl out. And man may throw us a religious rope. But a religious rope won't help us. What we need is a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the only way that he'll ever come to us is by grace, never by law. And so I find the very first thing I want you to see in this passage is the compassion of God's grace. Aren't you glad today for the grace of God? Amen? I'm so glad for God's grace. But then there's another display I want you to see. Not only that, but notice his compassionate care for the needy. The word compassion, the Bible said he had compassion. This Samaritan, when he arrived, if you notice here, in verse number 33, the Bible said, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him." That word compassion means it's that inner inside of us. It's the inner yearning that comes from within. As the Greeks would consider it, it's like the internal, the guts, if you would, the visceral part of man. It's deep inside. It's the whole being that's within a man. That person can't help but want to do something. That's when he talks about compassion. That's the word. You know, we think of compassion, and unfortunately in our world, we like to compare that to pity. Now, all of us can have a level of pity. We can pity a person who has no food, or pity a person who doesn't have this, or pity a person who doesn't have that, but that doesn't do anything for us. God's not talking about pity. He's talking about compassion. When compassion says, not only are we hurting inside for that person, but it moves us that we want to do something. That's exactly what God did. God looked down on us and he saw where we were. He saw us in our sin. He saw us in our need. He saw us where we were. And he could have been like, maybe even the religious crowd could have had pity, but they didn't have compassion. And what God is showing us his compassion because he cared for us. I'm glad we have a caring God. Amen. God cares for you and I today. And so that inner compassion that comes in the whole being of a person as God began to work in our life in such a way, it is an amazing thing. And notice what God did, verse 34. Here we find he went to him. We see through healing, he went to him. Aren't you glad God comes to us? Aren't you glad that God comes to us? Because the truth matters, do you realize that none of us ever go to him? You say, where do you get that from? All throughout the scriptures, the Bible says, like, for example, in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You see, we went our own way. And God said, though the man may go his own way, I want to come to him. I want to come to him and I want to pursue after him. Thank God, God pursues us. Now, I remember, even as a young boy, whenever I would, I would even think about dying or hear about a young, like one of my friends died, or I'd hear about some death, or I would read about that, though we never did go to funerals when I was a little boy, but I would hear about that, and people would tell me about their grandmother who had died, or grandfather who had died, and different things like that, and it would bother me, and I began to think about that. I began to wonder, where would I go if I were to die? What's going to happen to me? What about my life? I was burdened about my eternal life. And each time I'd hear about that, I began to think about that. And I would try to go to the law and say, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good boy. And I'm trying to do right. And I'm trying to do these things. But law showed no compassion. It wasn't until I was 14 years old in a revival meeting that I heard about Jesus, who was all compassion. And Jesus came to me in his grace, but Jesus also came to me in his care. I notice here that the man bound up his wounds, the Bible says. Poured oil in him. It indicated with him binding it up as if he took his own clothes and he tore the clothes and wrapped them around those wounds and patched them up and put oil and put wine in there to kill the infection. And then notice, if you would, second of all, he accepted him. The Bible said that he lifted up the man. And he put him on the donkey, and he took that donkey, and what he did was, as that man was across that donkey, he didn't ride on the donkey, he walked beside the donkey. He was willing to sacrifice his comfort. He was willing to sacrifice his conveniences. He was willing to sacrifice his own concerns for that man, and he walked the rest of the way on that winding road down to Jericho with the man on the donkey beside him, and he was taking him to the inn. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. That's exactly what he did. That's how he cares for us. He picked us up and he put us on his shoulders and he said, this is mine and I love him. And we see the picture of Jesus as being the Son of God who comes and brings the lost lamb and carries him back on his shoulders, because that's the kind of Jesus that you and I can know today. He accepts us. I like what John 6 and verse 37 says. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I like the fact that I have a lawyer, Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate one. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, and it says, my little children, speaking to believers, it says, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, Jesus took it all on his back. And that victim that was lifted up and put on that donkey and taken down, let me tell you, that's you and me. That's what Jesus did. But thirdly, I want you to notice through the sacrifice, we see that with Jesus. The Samaritan, as he walked alongside, the Bible said, and when he arrived at the inn, I want you to notice something he did. The Bible said that he took out of his pocket and he paid. He paid 2 pence. Now, in our modern society, we think of 2 pennies, that's not much. You know, 2 pennies. In fact, pennies, I see pennies all over the place. I mean, they lie on ground. You know, I walk by it. I kind of look at it. Well, should I pick it up or not? It's only a penny. But not in the first century when you think about 2 pence. I did a little research. I want to find out what that was. Let me give you what the modern day equivalent is to 2 pennies. That's 2 months of motel rooms with board. What it means is simply this, that the man said, not only am I wanting to take care of him. Here's the 2 pence. I want you to room and board him for 2 months. Now, I started figuring that up. Hey, in our area, the average motel room is about $100 a night. Would that be right? Multiply that out by 30 days. Double it. That puts us at about $6,000. That's a lot of money. So what the man said was, you know what? He said, here's what I want us to do. He said, I'm going to put down some money. I want to help him. I'm willing to sacrifice because I care for him. And by the way, Jesus paid more than that. He paid with his own life for you and for me. He shed his blood for me. When he hung on the cross, he died for me. That's ultimate compassion, I'll tell you. And Jesus did it all for me. And what we see in this Samaritan man was, he went down and he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want to, and he stayed with him and he cared for him and he looked after him. And he said, and here's some money. And he says, and if it's not enough, when I get back, I'll pay the rest. And by the way, just to let you know, Jesus did pay the rest. He paid it all. Thank God he paid it all. You see, this passion is unprecedented. This passion is unbelievable. And all of us who sit here as Christians, you know, sometimes, and I'm not trying to be mean or cranky or anything like that, but I think sometimes we sit in the glory of and bask in the glory of God's forgiveness, and we don't even care if others know it. And I think sometimes we sit back and, you know, we're in our own place and our own situation, and we're just so happy that God saved us and everything. But do we want to tell anybody else? Oh no, not me. I'm not gonna let someone shut the door on my face. Oh no, I'm not gonna let someone reject me. But we have no problem letting Jesus be rejected. You see, the ultimate compassion, and let me just tell you something else. You know, you say, well, you know, man, to interrupt on Monday night and come out and go out to outreach on Monday night, you know, don't you realize I've got basketball that night? That's really high priority over souls dying and going to hell, right? Oh, I'm real busy on this, and I've got that to do, and I got this to do, and I got that to do. Hey, what about Jesus? Aren't you glad he didn't think like that? You see, the truth of the matter is, Jesus just told us what it's all about. In fact, let me just tell you this. You talking about, some people had said, well, you know, that's a really big cost to pay for compassion. But what's even worse is the cost that is paid with no compassion. You see, the priest missed out on the opportunity, and so did the Levite, that he could have stopped and helped. And God had given him the ability, the able to try to take the man and help him and show. But he did not steward his time because his time was his. He didn't care about anybody else. And let me tell you this morning, look, we're only here for a short time. I was looking at some pictures of myself. Nobody else will look at them, so. I was looking at pictures of myself the other day, and 20 years ago or whatever, and the funny thing is I looked and I saw, man, it's just changing that quick. Life is changing quick. I said, what happened to all that hair? Where did those wrinkles come from? Now the kids are saying I'm old school. To me, it's just the way it ought to be, amen, you know. All of a sudden, everything begins to change. Because you know what? Time is moving very, very quickly. And you know what I think? Every night or every day that I pass by someone I could help and I don't do it, I'm paying a bigger price than when I stop and help. You say, I'm so busy. If you're too busy to help somebody, you are too busy. Maybe you need to readjust some of your priorities. The Bible said that Jesus took me right where I am. He had a compassionate care for my life. He took me and he was willing to sacrifice everything, including himself, for me. Did I deserve it? Oh no, that's where the grace is. But thank God he cares. But then there's one more. I want you to notice as he displayed, first of all, his grace through his care, and then secondly, his care, but thirdly, let me show you something else he did. His compassionate provision for the needy. Now, what did he do? Well, I notice here in the passage, he had continual love. The innkeeper was to care for the man until that man returned, the Samaritan returned. You just keep on taking care of him. And by the way, let me just tell you this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we know this very well, that God loves us continually. Can I tell you this? You can't do anything to get God not to love you. Nothing. There's never a time in your life when you say God didn't love you. All I can tell you is this. Every day of your life, God does love you. He continually loves you. And for someone to say that he doesn't love us, they do not understand the compassion of our Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. For God so loved the what? World. He has so loved you and me. He loved me so much. And not only that, but he continually loves me. He loves me every day. And there's not a time in my life, you know, that I can get God to unlove me. And sometimes I think people got the idea that, you know, now that I'm a believer and I accept God by faith, I accept him as my Savior. But here's what happens is I got to make sure that I want to be really good, because I don't want to get mad at me not love me anymore, because that's not the case. That may be how man does it. That's not how God does it. God loves you continually. But then there's a second part of this. Not only do we see this compassion of his provision, but we see continual blessing. He wanted the wounded man to be cared for and looked after, and he wanted to make sure that man had food and everything cared for. A good picture of what God does for us every day. Psalm 103 says it like this: bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you know that you have a lot of benefits that God's given to you? For some of you, it's the very fact that you have air to breathe. You have a family that loves you, or somebody that cares about you, or a church that you can come to, or a job that you can go to work at, or a place that you call your own, whether it be your home that you rent or a home that you own, whatever the case is, a car that you drive. I mean, we have a lot of benefits from God. We have the peace of God, and yet at the same time, we're bearing burdens, and we realize that's a part of what comes along in life. But God says, look, no matter how heavy your burdens are, I am there to help you through those burdens. That's why Jesus tells us, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. God's going to be there. He's next to us. He's helping us through those difficulties. And I'm not underestimating or trying to somehow or another demean what we're going through at all. I'm simply saying this, that if we have a Savior like that Savior, we need to realize, you know, we can cast all our cares on him, for he careth for us. And what I'm saying is this, that if he cares for us, don't you think that we should be some of the most caring people and compassionate people in all the world right here? If you're a Christian, you ought to be as compassionate as anybody. If you want to know who's going to reach those lost people out here, if you want to know who's going to win those people to Christ, it's the compassionate people. It's not those who would say, you know what, I'm just going to do it for me. I'm all about me. It's just about me. They missed it altogether. We find the continual presence of God as well. That's his provision. Jesus, the ultimate neighbor. You ask who his neighbor is? Who's my neighbor? I'll tell you my neighbor is Jesus. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. He's my friend that's there. But when I look at it beyond Jesus, Jesus says, hey, I'm a neighbor to everybody. I look at my neighbor that's right in front of me to the right. He needs Jesus. I look at my neighbor to the left of me. He needs Jesus. I look at my neighbor across the street. They need Jesus. I look at the neighbor behind me. They need Jesus. I look at those who I work with. They need Jesus. I look at that person that may be the most aggravating boss in all the world. He needs Jesus, or she needs Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying compassion, the ultimate compassion, is found in Christ. But I'm saying just as he has given it to you, his compassion toward you, then we should give that compassion towards somebody else. Not only that, but let me tell you something else. Do you know there's some people in this room right here, right sitting right next to you, they're carrying some really heavy burdens, and God's people ought to be as most compassionate to those in their own church family. Compassion. Where have we missed it? I'll tell you where we missed it. We've gotten so wrapped up in the world and the way the world thinks, we think just like the world, because the world knows nothing of compassion. I think it's a horrible thing to think about, that someone would pull out a gun and shoot somebody innocently. We hear about it all the time. I mean, I used to pinpoint a story. Now it's so many, which one do I choose? All you could do is read the newspaper. No compassion. Angry, selfish, bitter, ungodly people would take someone's life. And how sad that is to think about, someone would do something like that. But I'm going to tell you, no greater compassion in all the world than that which is found in Jesus Christ. He teaches us great compassion. How about your compassion level? I mean, I will tell you this. He's so full of compassion, it's overflowing. And if he has compassion on you, how compassionate are you toward others? How about your family? How about your neighbors? How about those you work with? How about those in the church? What about those? Compassion. How important that is. And we see it all wrapped up in Jesus. Okay, guys.
Another day of life, another day of burdens. Today, I get to deal with financial debt. I also get to deal with a rocky marriage. Overbearing boss. Dealing with secret sin. Trying to make a difference in others' lives, then wondering whether or not God truly loves me. And so my day begins.
Man, I probably should help this guy. I just got way too many things to do today.
Hey man, let me help.
Simple illustration. But we see the first man's compassion was limited to his mind. He understood that Stephen was struggling, but that's where it ended. The second man's compassion was twice as what the first man's was. Intellectually, he knew that he should have helped, but he just didn't have time in his schedule to do it. He chose not to do it. And then the third man finally came along and had the same compassion that the first two had, and yet for him, he decided to make that compassion a priority and actually helped.